Welcome to Puro Kalaro Podcast. I am again in my English mode because we have very special guest today on the podcast. We have the guys from Quickfire Labs. We got Tony and Noah. They're working on a game. Guys, welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm also joined by my co-host, Rainier here. How are you, man?
I am back. I just come in and out, when I want to.
Welcome
so
back,
man. I'm here now.
All right, guys. I mean, how is it, man? We are in a tough time right now with COVID and everything. So how are you guys? How's it faring in the office?
Pretty well. Everybody's mostly working remote, but it's oddly been beneficial where we can put time in as we need. Don't have to worry about that. We're in California, so we don't have to worry about all that nasty traffic. We can work around the clock to get this game out the door, which has been really, really fun.
I hear you. I mean, how is the overall mood right now? Any changes that, I mean, I know, I mean, you said it's been great and all, but how is the total mood and all that? Because most of the developers right now, some of them have delayed their launch dates and everything. But how are you guys faring with all of this? You guys on track or something?
Yeah, we're largely on track. We're actually going to be going live into early access somewhere between August 7th and August 8th on Steam. And it's awesome. It's been a long road to get there. But we've been working around the clock to make it happen. And it's been great. The game that over the last few months has massively transformed. We've put in a lot of core features and done tons and tons of balancing. So we're super eager to see player data and to see what the comments and feedback from the player base is. Because every one of us is a gamer. We spend half our time working on the game, half our time actually playing other games together, and kind of no time sleeping.
We
sleep for, especially Noah, he sleeps for a good 2-3 minutes a day. And,
I've been awake for 40 hours at this point, so I'm rocking it. Yeah. I'm going good.
Yeah. We're dedicated.
Jesus, that sounds like a different planet, not here.
Yeah.
All right. You guys need to tell me, who is Quickfire Labs? I mean, how you guys started and all that.
Well, it's an interesting story. So we've actually got half of our team in two different locations. We've got our publishing team in California, and we've got several of our developers up in Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada. And what was interesting was a few years ago, a friend of mine introduced me to these Canadian folks. And see, every year I get hit up. I've been in the game industry more than 20 years. I've been at Sega and Bandai and EA and Wild Tangent and everywhere else you could possibly imagine. And, it's not that I'm super amazing. It's just that I'm getting old and I've done this for a long time. So I know everybody and I've got a lot of experience. So I get hit up every year with tons of different games, ideas, and technologies. 99% of them, it's like, nope, and I'm a jaded old man at this point. I don't know. But most of them I pass on. Anyway, one day I get introduced by a friend of mine, these Canadian guys, and they had a really cool looking title. But what was really interesting is that these guys showed me that they could launch this really cool shooter that was console level quality on the web, and it launched in between 7 to 10 seconds. And I stopped and I looked at that and I said, well, it's a really neat, trick. You guys did some editing, but that can't be done. And then I took a deeper look at that, and sure enough, it happened. So the technology that powered being able to run this on the web was what initially grabbed me, but then the gameplay itself with the time mechanics was really, really cool as well. And I said, you know what? I like how these guys think. I like the tech that they build. And they're a bunch of really smart developers, but they didn't have the game industry knowledge and design expertise that my team had. So it was this really great kind of marriage between, you know, a bunch of really seasoned game industry producers, designers, and a bunch of really smart developers and technologists up in Canada. So we took this prototype that they had created with some really unique technology, and we started to transform that into a game that players would find really fun. And everybody in the company is a gamer. Everybody who's working on this project. So we end up, you know, playtesting our own title, but then also, like, especially lately, we've been diving into Gunfire Reborn, which is another fantastic title. And then we make sure we do a minimum one night a week that's, you know, specifically a game night. So we'll be playing golf with your friends or Gunfire or something. And it's just fantastic. We get, you know, kill each other. Everybody accuses Noah of cheating, you know, and we have a good old time. But no, the company
is... How did this turn to me? What did I do? You were going at a good pace, man. All right.
Okay, look, the truth is Noah's actually really good, but we don't tell him that to keep his ego in check. And to make the rest of us feel better about losing to him, we accuse him of cheating, which is pretty standard game industry tactics to make yourself feel better about yourself. So so that's our studio. We love working with the Canadian guys. This is our first title. We've got a couple other titles in prototype that are very, very different. We want to put out, you know, games that are wildly fun and addictive, but one of our core values is to work with the community and to make sure that our titles are games that gamers really, really love. So that's kind of
being
us.
Being gamers yourself, that's very important feedback and all that, right? All right. So let's talk about this game. Right. So who's going to start? All right. Let's talk about this game that we've been hinting about. All right. So what is Chrono Shot? Tell us about it, guys.
Well, I'll give you a little bit, and then I'll hand it over to Noah. Noah does a lot of our game balancing and design, which just makes the game just, you know, makes a night and day difference when it comes to fun and playability. So what is Chrono Shot? Chrono Shot right now is mainly a third person arena shooter with specialized time mechanics. What's really cool about the specialized time mechanics is time only moves when you move. So what that does is it allows you to pull off really cool Matrix-esque kind of moves where you can, you know, shoot in four different directions. And the bullets, you know, are moving really slow. You can switch weapons. You can use special abilities. And then when you start moving again, all those bullets and everything just zip at full speed. So, you know, you can have guys attacking you from four directions and you can take them all out and do a backflip out of that situation. Fun kind of power fantasy moments throughout the game. You get better rewards for the cooler and more complex things that you pull off in the game.
Yeah.
It's mainly a shooter, Noah, go ahead and talk a little bit about, you know, your perspective on the title.
It's just if you've played a game called Superhot, it kind of does a lot of the similar mechanics that time moves when you move, but this is a lot different. It's not a VR. It is a third-person shooter. You know, movement is more controlled if you're used to just a general shooter. And it's more like arcadey. It's not a puzzle solver. And like right now, it's kind of in its simplest form, I would say, especially because when we're treating it as early access, we're really treating it as early access, right? Alpha. There's no money. There's no cash shop. This is just purely just getting user feedback on just general game feel on the basic level of just movement, enemies, and basic map textures, right? Just like blocks and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, we're, of course, wanting to develop it way more and, you know, mm-hmm. get a lot more going. But we're wanting to see how players react to kind of a basic interaction. It's just kind of fun to mess around with it because it's that thing where, and I find in most bullet time games, it's kind of exciting to just sit down for a second and be like, oh, whoa, the world's slowed down and you interact with it. Mm-hmm. And so I hope players kind of have that reaction just going in to be like, oh, whoa, what do we do with it? And the hope is we get to make it just kind of extreme and crazy with both, mm-hmm. you know, level and map design and even, you know, some enemy design and even the talent system and multiplayer. We're really trying to get to that point where this game really expands on itself.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, it's a really interesting concept. I mean, as far as I've seen it, it's already there showing, showing it all to the world in Steam, right? So, I mean, it's a really interesting concept that would, I mean, for me, I'm an old gamer. I mean, I'm just like you guys. I mean, this is bringing me back to the time when Max Payne released.
Yeah.
This is, yeah, I mean, right? I mean, this is the kind of technology that you would have guessed that from the time of Max Payne, which is like early 2000s and all that, we would have had these type of games. But this is just calling back to that and improving on that particular technology. But I mean, what is the inspiration behind these game other than, you know, you've already said Matrix and everything, but what made you think that this right now in the, what do you call this, the dawn of first person shooters and third person shooters and everything, I mean, what made you think that this is the right way to go, meaning this kind of time stop and everything like that? So,
well, what's really interesting is when we first saw this, because the first prototype with the time mechanics was shown to us by the developers. They put that together, and some of the feedback that we got from doing playtesting with college students and some other folks.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Don't die on me, Tony.
Yeah, I know
you're middle aged, but don't die yet.
Yeah, I'll try and survive to the end of the podcast if I can. that's what happens, you know. One of the things that we found that was really interesting is that the kind of audience that this opens up to. I love first-person shooters. You know, I'm an old-school Counter-Strike addict, and but in my old age now, I'm more of a strategic camper than I am a good Twitch player, you know. But anyway, that being said, yeah, so many people just want, I hate that guy instantly because I said that. But now what we found is that people who are, you know, not necessarily that good at the fast-paced shooters really found that they could get into this game in a whole different way because it makes it way more strategic. And it opens this game type up to a much larger audience. And we had ladies, and that was one of the interesting things. We actually indexed really well with the female demographic, because it, and I think part of that was probably because suddenly this game makes it's a little bit more cerebral. You have to start planning and thinking ahead, and it gives you the time to do that. And I can tell you with my daughters and my wife, they're way better at sitting, strategizing, and thinking three steps ahead of where I am, right? So when they started playing it, they're like, oh, yeah, this is great. I've got, you know, 12 guys running at me. I've got the first four I'm taking out right now, and I've got plans for the rest of them all coming. And, but what you find is that people who aren't really that great at first person or third person shooters can really enjoy this game because it just weaves in that element of tactics. And the other things that we added in are specialized ammunition that can do different things. Like there's one called Black Hole, that if you shoot a group, it expands out and then sucks in, and it just pulls everything in and it explodes, which is really fun. There's another one called Teleport that if you've got a group of guys chasing you, you can turn around and shoot the teleport bullet at them. And when it hits them, you instantly teleport to where they're at and everything around them explodes. And it gives you those really cool power fantasy kind of moments like, oh, that just felt good. So part of the inspiration was there in, you know, going with time mechanics like that is making it accessible and making it more strategic so that everybody feels like, hey, I can participate and have a lot of fun here. And so it does well with people like, you know, us who are more used to, you know, competitive shooters, but then opens it up to a whole different group of folks who aren't so great in that area and still gives them the ability to have fun and feel good about it.
Yeah. I'm already getting the vibe of how timely the enemies move and how the bullets move towards the enemies. It's kind of like, you know, that scene in X-Men.
Yes.
Right? You could actually play the entire music. What was that music anyway? I mean, like,
oh, that was Queen, which, by the way, because I'm old and I grew up with Queen, I would give a body part if I could have a Queen sound part, any of the Queen's of Queen's titles in our game, but that's neither here nor there. I would
try to get
it.
A license, man.
Oh yeah. It's as a matter of fact, if somebody like gave us like, you know, $50 million and said, here, do whatever you want. The first minute I'd be like, license, Don't Stop Me Now from Queen, and put it in. It's exactly what I did.
It could have been the best world premiere ever. You show that and you show your gameplay. Oh my god.
Well, and you know what the funny thing is, you can actually catch bullets in the time slot to refill. It goes into your gun, it sucks it in, you grab the bullet out of the air and you throw it into your gun, and
you're
so
that is
so oh yeah that's catching bullets is wild.
So that's way to defend yourself, because since your movement as a player is slower, you actually have to use the time slow, because there'll be like drones or guys with SMGs or a shotgun flying enemy shooting at you, and there's no way you're going to dodge like 10 pellets. So you can catch all of them and then refill your sniper rifle really quickly. And so, that's actually a mechanic that you can utilize.
Finally, a game that turns the tides, huh?
We're going to finally beat those stinking AI, man. It just took us, you know, 30 years. But the reason I didn't do a Max Payne reference, because I actually knew exactly, I was thinking Max Payne, but I'm like, dude, most people haven't played Max Payne in like 15 years.
I know, right?
I'll play Super Hot. I said Super Hot. You know, I was like, I know this game. But I was like, oh, someone who knows Max Payne. There we go. Yeah, that was the game.
I was really happy that you said that, because I'm like, oh, Max Payne. Yeah. And just like such good memories.
Three was really good. I think that was
what? I'm going to say something sad. The only Max Payne I haven't played is 3.
It's 3. Same. Yeah. I mean, I've played 1 and 2 and all that.
3 is good.
Yeah. 3 is good? You'd recommend it?
Yeah, no, I think I played 3 and then went back to 2 and 1. I started with on the PS3, I think. Well, it has better graphics, so the
makes it a better game, right?
Yeah.
Well, I started
like the roof.
I mean, I started with like Max Payne 1. I mean, I can still remember my friends having trouble opening playing the game, because they're getting black screens and now. Have you activated OpenGL? I mean, right now that's not even a problem, man. Right?
Yeah.
Before we didn't have graphic cards. We just have a computer. Just play the game. See if you can play it.
Yeah.
That was always the LAN party dream, right? You just have a LAN party and it's just like, all right, two computers aren't working. All right, you guys have to sit down and wait.
Yeah,
exactly. Those were the days. All right. So, I mean, we've talked about the nearest comparison to this game. I mean, because gamers are always like that, right? They always, oh, it's like that. Oh, it's like this before they actually try out the game. because they want to feel a sense of like familiarism. Because I mean, automatically, if you see a new gameplay, a new mechanic, that you're afraid, no, I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's a good game. But if they actually somehow familiarize with it, they're in a safe side. As you might, I mean, you could say that they feel safe when they can relate to it. But this, you guys are calling out several different references here. What makes this, it is very early right now to say, but what makes it different, do you think, along the line? You got your own, what it calls roadmap for this, but what do you think makes it this one different from all the other things? I mean, Ubisoft just released some, Battle Royale out of nowhere. So what makes this different from the rest? Because obviously you guys are going to be canned into a single corner there where most of the gainers can get familiar with you. So what makes this different?
Well, I think a few things are off the top of my head. The time mechanics for sure are pretty unique.
Definitely.
Yeah, and the way that we've implemented them is very, very unique. So we think it's going to be, you know, really accessible, really fun, that a lot of different people can play. But another big differentiator is how we conduct our studio and our operations. Because we're gamers, we're going to be laser focused on a few different things. One of those is player behavior, actually taking a look at what people are doing in the game, looking at their mechanics and being able, or looking at their data and what they're doing, and pivoting and modifying our gameplay, our mechanics based on that. But not just taking a look at what people are doing, but listening to the community, seeing what people are really saying. And that's one of the things that, you know, you don't see from a lot of developers, unfortunately, these days is, you know, and believe me, I've worked at a lot of major publishers, and you get your roadmap, you get, you know, your timelines, and you're forced to just shove this game out and, you know, and here's the parameters. And then it doesn't matter to a lot of folks, you know, what the players are saying or what reviews it gets. So we're taking the opposite approach of that and really saying, we want to hear from the community. We want to hear from everybody who, you know, is invested in this game, and make our modifications based on that as well. You know, really taking the community. So we think that that's really the only way to build a long lasting, really fun game. Because at the end of the day, we wish a lot of our favorite titles would have listened to us, right? So we want to do that for everyone else. So it's one of the things we think is going to make our studio unique and also make our game better than the rest, is our community involvement. Plus, we're just going to do some really cool, fun stuff like bullet catching that doesn't really exist anywhere else. And we're going to throw some really cool mobs in, you know, and we can do anything. And that's one thing I would encourage anybody who's listening to this who wants to play the game is, you know, give us your feedback, talk to us. We want to hear it. Because there's nothing that we can't do with this title, right? You know, I was just joking around the other day that, you know, we've got some flying drone units, and I was just messing with our design team and said, how about you turn them in? You know, how about we just do an animation for fun that when you blow those up, it just, you know, explodes into little tiny kittens that go flying everywhere, you know, just for the hell of it. You know, like, and they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, just give it a whirl. You know, and then guys like Noah are like, don't listen to Tony. Just, you know, he's a studio.
I don't approve of it because I'm interacting with engineers every morning, right? And I'm just like, okay, these are our tasks. All right, we're bug fixing these issues, blah, blah, blah. And then Tony drops in the call. It's like, guys, kittens. And I'm like, oh my God.
Exploding kittens. Trust me. And
you can't go wrong with that.
You know, I look at our task system. I'm like, how do I turn this into this, right? Like, so, like, Lordy.
Yeah.
Hey, sooner if you guys don't do it, the mod community is going to do it.
Yeah, right on. That's actually, and that's something that we've been talking about too, is opening up tools in the future for the mod community, because we want people playing around. We want people building maps. We want,
Hell yeah.
I mean, why not?
Yeah,
we're totally down for that.
Quicksilver mod. Yeah.
That's right. Well, we have to have, I was watching Rick and Morty the other day, and God, I love Rick and Morty, but it's the Inception dream episode, and as they're running, you know, from the Freddy Krueger, they go, look, it's a legally safe knockoff of an 80s, you know, horror guy with swords on his fingers instead of knives. And I just so if you make a Quicksilver mod, make sure it's a legally safe knockoff. Okay. That's all.
That's the word.
I mean, you guys can't do it, but the mod community, you can always trust the mod community to do it.
That's right.
I'm a big believer of mod stuff. I've always, you know, whenever I've talked to Tony about any project I've worked on with him, I'm like, can we make mod support a thing? Because, you know, it is always a big task to do that. And like, what tools you give them. And also, like, make sure it doesn't destroy the game. You know, even the server requirements, because sometimes you want to host it for them as well. Like, hey, you know, you can put it up, but we're allowing users to stay there as well. But that's something I do want for this and even future titles, is I really love modding community. Like, some of my favorite games of all time have come from mods, right? Like, if you've played Source games, like, you know, Counter-Strike, or even, you know, Dota from Warcraft 3, and even StarCraft 1. I love, you know, and Brood War, right? And all those games, like, the modding community were awesome. Like awesome. Like, they really defined a lot of the games we even play today, but even just, like, part of our childhoods. Because we played these games, they were really fun, but what kept us playing, like, the thing making me play Brood War and Warcraft 3 for the, like, next 10 years after this game had already come out were the mods. Like, I'm a big believer in mods.
I mean, everyone, every player out there, particularly, of course, PC players, are still playing Skyrim at this point.
Disappoints me. That disappoints me. Skyrim should not be being played. Dude, I can't say too much, but I don't like Bethesda. I'll just say that, you know. Hey, Tony, you might have some different beliefs than me, because I know you play Bethesda titles. I do not like Bethesda.
Yeah, Noah's more of a high skill kind of a player.
I like casual games. Don't act like I don't play games that are not high skill. Hey.
Well, but anyway, yeah, I loved Skyrim. Then again, I played it with my kids. So, you know, so
that makes it all better.
Yeah. Well, they'd be like, dad, hey, how do we mod this? That's really what it came down to, was they just wanted help modding stuff. So I'm like, fine. Okay. And then, So we definitely want to have, modding support. We haven't, you know, but that's one of those things that we'll get to when we get to it. But it's on our minds. So the things that we've got, in development now, as we go into early access, you know, we're getting all that data and we're getting a lot of the core mechanics, you know, polished and doing all that stuff. But multiplayer's one of our next really, you know, big releases, and we're right in the midst of design and development there. So we think that that's really going to be that kind of forever experience where, you know, in your single player stuff, it's fantastic. You get the power fantasy. It's really fun. And then in multiplayer, you get to use those skills that you've just built up, and you get to go, you know, experience it cooperatively with your friends and, you know, have that kind of wonderful experience. So
We'll get to that, because I have a good question about that, because it's already boggling my mind. But what is, do you think, the target market? Because I can't see this being looked at by like shooter fans, but also because of the strategical aspect to it. It can be looked at as a strategy game hiding in the face of a shooter. So what do you think is are you targeting a wide array of audience here, or are you targeting mostly or captivating the attention of shooter fans?
Well, I can tell you what we're starting with, and there's what we're going to start with, what we suspect, and then how we're going to pivot based on what we actually see. Mm-hmm. So what we're starting with is, as we bring our first cohorts of players in, we are going to be targeting some shooter fans of different types and seeing how they react, how they like it. But then we're gonna expand that out. But we think shooter fans are going to give us some really good data up front. And then we're going to just, see how other groups do, and fans of other genres, especially strategy players. And we're not sure at the end of the day, because as you were asking earlier, what's unique about this title? There's very few shooters that have that kind of strategy, built in. And as you said, there is some people may consider it a strategy game with the mask of a shooter. So we're going to have to see how well the different demographics react. And we like that it's very accessible to a large group, but you can't build a title for everybody for all the time, right? That's just not, there's no game that's the forever game for everybody. So, we're going to have to see how folks react and pivot based upon that. So we're not sure, I guess, is the answer, but we're ready to find out.
Wow. Very exciting. I mean, I'm already seeing some blow up from the strategy guys, because it's looking like a very strategical shooter. You don't even need to be a good aimer at this game, I think. You just have to predict.
Yeah.
Where the enemies are going, what's the next move, what's the best next move after that, and all that. So that's what I'm thinking. But let's get to it. All right. This is actually a good practice game for now, as it's right now built. It's a good practice game for predictability of shooting and all that, because first person shooters are at a point where people are not just aiming where the enemy is at, but where the enemy is going next, because of different hertz and monitors and all that. So they're already calculating beforehand. But how is multiplayer going to work in this game? I'm very curious about that.
Actually, that's the same question. How would the time mechanic work on a
multiplayer? Yeah.
Yeah, that's we get that question a lot. So there's two different things I can talk about real quick. I'll get to the multiplayer second. There's a couple of mechanics in the game though that that we've put in that are not apparent until you actually start getting deeper into the gameplay. Mm-hmm. So we've got some really interesting AI built in that we're also really going to be polishing in the near term. So the AI starts to shoot where it predicts you're going to be. So when you're trying to use the time mechanic and you're catching bullets, the reason we don't want people to just, forever be able to farm bullets out of the air and always be able to dodge because the time mechanic. So what happens is that the AI, you'll have multiple spawns pop up and guys shooting at you, and they're not only shooting where you're at, but where a percentage of the bullets are going to go where it thinks you're going to be, which is really interesting. There's other stuff that happens, like if you start shooting, doing so many headshots, the AI will start to develop shields in that area. So you have to change your strategy. Yeah. So you can't just, I'm going to do all headshots and just, you may have to start doing leg shots, body shots, all different kinds of things.
Or swap your gun.
Or change your gun.
A good example of this is the shield guys, the shields take a number of hits. So if you use the shotgun, which shoots like 10 pellets, it'll do those 10 hits required to break a shield. So one shot from the shotgun will shatter that shield for you. So you can swap back to the other gun in the time slow. Like, that's a basic concept of it. But yeah, there adds more, especially if there's a lot of enemies that have shields coming at you. So,
So there's some really neat, really neat stuff. And Noah's thought through a lot of these things and put some really, really cool designs in place. So I just wanted to mention that as you were talking about trying to predict where the enemies are going to be running. So the AI really changes things up and makes it even more fun. So the question of multiplayer, that has actually been our biggest challenge. And we want to make something that's really, really fun. So what we've just, we've done is we've developed the underlying technology to support multiple different instances of, multiplayer. And, we're prototyping, several different possibilities right now. So if just think of it as a matrix of, you know, possible different ways we could build it in with time mechanics. In any multiplayer, you've got synchronous, you've got asynchronous, you know, you could have instance time mechanics, you could have global time mechanics. There's all different ways. So what we've done is we've put together the tech to support it, and now we're prototyping out a few different ways that we've narrowed down, and we're playtesting those. And then we're going to roll it out. So I can't give you the specifics because we've got multiple scenarios of how we think time mechanics and multiplayer will work, but we're testing them all. So
development is not easy. If you want to get into the game industry, ladies and gentlemen, it's not easy. So let me just drop that one right there. The people, amount of baby that, testing QA is just crazy. Even for the most people thing.
And most people, you know, the thing that just drives me up a wall, because I've been in the game industry a long time, I've done a lot of cool stuff. And what I really, really hate the most is, especially you get to go to a family gathering and stuff, people who don't really know what I do, or you know what you might do in the game industry. They're like, you play video games every day, is that it? You know, and you just want to punch
exactly
them right in the
like
face.
That.
And that's how they all sound too, which is amazing. They all start sound like this, you know, and you're like, oh, that just asshole kind of vibe. And they don't realize that, you know, it's 90%+ of our work is just tough, hard work of planning, developing, doing it again and again. And I used to run, early in my career, I used to run testing organizations in the game industry, and I had really big groups. And I remember I had usually 5 or 6 different studios that my testing organization was supporting at any given time. And I had to switch my testing teams from title to title to title, each individual team, because they couldn't take so much more golf, you know, like they're like, God, I never want to play a golf game again, because it stops being fun when you're just, you know, playing the same damn thing 1,000 times, finding, you know, the smallest bug, writing it up, submitting it, retesting. So there's so much work that goes into game development. So it has to be a passion for you. And that's one of the things why everybody on our team, we're all gamers, otherwise we wouldn't be doing this. One last piece I'll say on that is, you know, having run publishing at companies, you know, like Sega and others, and especially living where I do, I would inherit a lot of these guys that are supposed like, oh, this guy's out of college and he knows somebody who got him a job here. And now guess what? He works for you. And they wouldn't, a lot of times they're not gamers. They've got an MBA from Stanford or something. I'm like, I really don't care. You know, I really don't care. I don't even want him on my team. But I'd have to deal with him anyway, because that's just how big companies are. But, you know, I want gamers because you can't build a great product unless you have a passion for it and unless you can understand what the end user experience is and why they would want it. It's the same thing when I've had guys apply to work with me in the past, and I'm like, look, what's the last game you played? And they're like, Duck Hunt on Nintendo. And I'm like, get the hell out of my office. And it's a classic. Yeah, it is a classic. But if it's the last game that they played, you know, I'm like,
you're giving me nightmares of my first job in the game industry, Tony. It's one of my direct supervisors, who was the director of game design at the time. The last game he mentioned he was like actively played was Street Fighter 2. And I was like,
a classic game, but.
And I was like, they were the director of game design.
Well, so, Street Fighter 2 got me through high school. That much I'll say.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. But
you play shooters? Yeah, Duck Hunt. You know?
Yeah. Duck Hunt. It is technically a shooter. That is correct. I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, we love what we do, and it's just needless to say, it's not always fun, but it's a passion of ours. And I'll just end that section by saying, you know, when you get folks in that just, you know, are there for money or just, you know, want to have a job, you know, but don't love games, I'm like, really? If you worked for Ferrari but you rode a bike to work, do you think that anybody would respect you? No. You know, so
say ciao, just
the bike
like that.
Was also a Ferrari bike.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, a Ferrari bike, and that would be pretty cool.
Well, I mean, all right. So, you guys mentioned a game mechanic that's already revealing to me that you guys are creating an X-Men game. I mean, you guys said. I mean, Noah just said that the AI adapts to you wherever you shoot it, right? So does it develop shield also in the chess area if you shoot most of the people who's gonna play with shooters are gonna shoot at the chess area versus the expert that shoots on the head. You guys just defined a sentinel right there.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, but to kind of expand on that, it's not like when you're shooting at the enemy, right? Like, none of the enemies are strong enough HP-wise right now to do it midway, but it's as the map gets further along, more powerful enemies spawn, different variants of them spawn, right? It's like as the Sentinels, right? Season 2, now they have special powers. Like, oh, I block telekinesis from you, Jean Grey. It's like, what the heck? How did this happen? How can they block that? And Magneto, you can't move us. It's like, it's just whatever, but it's further along because the game as it functions now, when people go to play it, is a timed mode. It's 7-minute sessions per match, and as the farther you get along, the more powerful, the more enemies, and the a little bit more complex. Of course, we're really wanting to expand on enemy types and AI interactions as a whole. That's like a big thing. It's really hard to do that. Like, to kind of expand on something, how difficult some of these things, like just for one of our basic levels. And a lot of these levels are very basic, but when we were making one out, we had a basic concept built out. And I just sat down with one of the engineers who's the level maker. And he and I, we just kept doing iterations and tests just every day, 8 hours a day, just going over and over and over, retesting things, moving things, timed how long it took certain enemies to get to you, where the enemy spawners were, you know, all of that, the flow of it, how long in the match it was, how many times people are killing things, you know, combo wise. And, you know, just for that one map alone, it took weeks of just testing every day to like get something that we were somewhat happy with. Right. And so that's kind of one of the things about that, where like we try and be careful and make sure that it's like, is this fun? Does this feel right? Like, is it satisfying? Just even on a basic level, like, because we want to expand and do crazy stuff, but we just want to make sure that we have our core fundamentals correct before we get even, you know, crazier with stuff. So we're trying to just do it one step at a time.
I mean, this game, as we're speaking here, I mean, this game is evolving in my head like crazy. So, I mean, we've gone through Max Payne, we've gone through several games and all that. Now, are you guys creating the Dark Souls of shooters?
No, no. Don't. I know exactly what you did Dark there, but don't even, Tony. I'm offended.
No, wait. You know, and I think you just touched a spot, you know, a deep spot there within Noah when you mentioned a title from Bandai Namco.
Yeah, because I used to work there.
Yeah, okay. we both used to work there, and and I will say I love the guys over at Bandai.
I rest my case.
I did not work on Dark Souls, by the way. People that are listening, I did not work on it. I do like the Dark Souls games. I've played them. They're fun. It's just, you know, it's very different reasons, you know.
I mean as a single player, even it's already very complex that it's, you know, I don't want to say anything in advance or speak too early here, but it's like you've already got that itch, you know, that Sid Meier's thing that, all right, just one more round. I think they got me there or some. I mean, it gets you hooked because of you could have done something better in that. Plus, right now it's on a like high score thing, right? The build is right now on a high score thing, and it's like, you know what? You're on the mindset that, you know what? I could have gotten something better there. Let me do it again. So, I mean, you guys are on the right track here when touching on people's addiction, if I might say.
you're totally right about that. We actually modified some of the original gameplay. Originally it was survival, is that you could die and then you had to restart the round. And one of the things that we found was changing it to a timed experience, you know, seems right now to really make the gameplay even more fun, where we don't penalize the player for dying. There is a penalty with your score and you have to respawn. You know, it's not like gameplay's over because you just got shot, you know, one too many times. It was a little too punishing. Now, what we are doing, because that's where higher skill comes in. One of the things that we are intending on doing is making that game mode available and seeing how, you know, the more experienced players may enjoy doing that as well. So with both, you know, a timed mode and a survival mode, so we're putting those, you know, the survival mode is going to be coming out in early access as well, and seeing how folks like that. But you're totally right. One of the things that made me super happy the other day is I had one of my kids playing the game, and he'd only played the super early version, and he sat down and he's like, oh, I only got 2 stars on this map. I want the third. And like an hour later, I'm like, dude, we have to leave. And he's like, no, just give me one more play. And I said, that made me really happy to hear, but dude, shut it down. And I'm thinking, what have I just done to so many other parents out there where they're going to be like, just give me one more play. And
I know.
So I'm like, yeah, but that's what I want to have happen. So it was really good to see it, but also made me late. So it sucked. I create my own problems.
That's actually the first thing that I actually look in a game personally. I mean, if you have a good enough challenge that you would hook me back into the game, even though by the time you die, it was I'm done. But it hooks you like a few seconds early. And you know what? Let me just try one more thing. See if this works. Yeah. And I mean, and that is a dangerous, like you said, dangerous to the people around you, because once you introduce them to it, what have you done to me?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I don't give out my home address, so that people can't show up, be like, that's it. I gotta tell you, a very good friend of mine in the game industry, Alan Pavlish, he was the main developer on a very old game called Wasteland. And I played Wasteland. Oh yeah, I love that game to death. It took me an entire year to beat it with my best friend I think it was in the late 80s. Anyway, we played this game to death and spent so much time on it. Years later, I'm in a business meeting. I think it was at E3 or GDC, I forget which. And he ends up sitting next to me in a meeting. It was the first time I met him. And they introduce him as Alan Pavlish. And I turn around and I just grab this guy by the jacket and I start shaking it, going, dude, give me back the year of my life, you know, like that I spent on just beating this game. But he's like, who are you? And when I said, I'm an addict of Wasteland, he just sat back and smiled. He was like, yeah, I did that. And I'm like, ah. So,
and to give you a visual sense, Tony, even though he's a shorter but stockier guy, but he's a blacksmith and also a martial artist. So he's like got a really strong grip. Like he will mess up people. Like he'll actually like, he's like very strong. Like that's the thing. So when he's saying he grabbed this guy by the collar, the guy's probably flying around the room. Like that's the thing. So like to kind of, you know, give a better sense of it.
Yeah.
He must have gone like, oh, you mean that?
That's exactly right. Because he was like, why are you shaking me? And I just yelled, Wasteland. And he's like, oh, yeah, I get it now. That happens. So, yeah, Alan's, if any, you know, hopefully Alan hears this, but he is one of the best guys in the game industry. It's fantastic. And I learned a lot of really great stuff from him. So, Alan, I hope you're listening out there somewhere on your boat. So paid for by Wasteland. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, we've talked about this game that's got me very excited already. But what, other than the one that you've already told us, what other features we might expect that you guys just have lying, like talking around, see if you can make it happen? What other features can we expect in this game?
Well, I mean, I just, you know, in our roadmap coming up, like I said, you know, there's survival mode, there's multiplayer. We are going to be adding a cash shop with some interesting items in the next couple of months. We're going to have skins. There's an entire, you know, system of upgrades for both player weapons and some of the special items. Yeah, we're actually going to change the name away from Quick Bullet to, you know, for the special, you know, ammunition to something a little more fun. But
We have a lot of ideas. Yeah. Like, we want to create like player loadouts if they want to do that. Maybe classes or metagames. Like that's the thing. Like, and it might, a lot of these systems outside of the game that link to gameplay eventually, like, will probably be linked to multiplayer. And that's where the thing is that a lot of the prototypes we're testing for multiplayer at this point kind of will help define other features, because it's like, oh, well, if we do this idea for multiplayer and build it out this way, then we can add this, this, and this, and it interacts in this way, right? And so that's one of the things where, you know, it comes down to a lot of testing again and just grinding the millstone for a long, long time.
So. Yeah. Just remember me when you, you know, make those skins. Just remember that we want that Quicksilver looking skin.
I knew you were going to ask that.
The legally
white lightning and on the chest. I mean, they know about, oh, I want to do this.
Well, they, believe me, we sit around talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, one of the things I want to do is you know, is I would love to get just some, if anybody out there wants to just have some fun and create special models that we can just mess around with. I mean, I would love to throw in ridiculous things, like do a John Wick model, do a Mandalorian model, just for the hell of it, just to, you know, and not actually be able to release it or anything, but just have some fun, you know, because, I love John Wick. It's completely unrealistic, but it's really, but that's the whole thing, is the power fantasy, you know, like, oh, that'd be cool.
But I mean, honestly, with that mechanic, if you could grab one of those enemies and all that and throw it in, and I mean, that would be awesome. This would be a different game altogether. But yeah, it plays down to the power fantasy that you were talking about and all that. So, I mean, this is already a great game. I mean, you guys are mixing some kind of concoction here, very dangerous to the public, if I might say.
Thank you.
So, I'm already thinking of pre-ordering, but you guys haven't done that yet. It's just a wish list right now. So, I don't have Rainier. Do you have any ideas what to ask these guys? Because I mean, they have me stunned already.
No, I think I was just interested in how the multiplayer is gonna work. But yeah, I think that's still in your pipeline, right? So anyway, we'll see how it goes. When is it? When will the early access be?
Right now, it looks like it's going to be August 7th. I'm not sure exactly what time of day. We just know that the date's going to be August 7th. So this keep an eye out. August 7th. That's
August 7th, U.S. time.
But like I said, we're not sure if it's, you know, what hour. So what I would do, I would just say, hey, check back August 7th and August 8th. Going into early access on Steam. It's completely free. So get in there, search, Steam, for Chrono Shot, one word. And, we'd love to see you there. And,
yeah, well, we're going to link it, man. Yeah. I mean, we're going to promote the hell out of this.
Thank you.
I want to see, because I mean, I'm more than anything, I want to be interested in who is going to play this game. Not really the numbers, but who exactly in the group of gamers who's going to appreciate this type of game. Because like I said, I mean, I'm already excited so much. With this is no joke, because you guys are concocting some kind of dangerous formula here that I might see first time, particularly with the multiplayer. I'm already excited in what you guys have in store for that. So yeah, thank you very much, guys, for guesting in our podcast, and yeah, good luck, and I hope you guys release soon. I'm already excited.
Awesome. Well, thank you, hopefully we'll do another podcast with you when we release some really cool stuff and talk about
please
that.
Do. Please cool. do. We expect that. Thank you very much, Noah and Tony here from Quickfire Labs, releasing Chrono Shot.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
You have a great day.
You too. Take care.
All right. Yan po ang ating episode ngayon. Thank you very much for listening, and wag masyadong puro kalaro. You have a great day.